thought they would die, but they failed to remember that the Master was nigh. And he spoke the words, and the winds all stood still, even the waters obeyed his will. And he calmed their storms, just like he will mine, if I just remember that he lives deep inside. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. Read in the Bible how he walked with them, brought light to their darkness when the way grew so dim. How great it would be to have his steps leading mine, and to walk with the Master all of the time. So when trials come, death seems so nigh, I'll call on the Master, he'll be there on time. And when sickness comes and my body is in pain, all I have to do is call on his name. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. Why should I worry? And why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. I'll call on his name till the storm passes.
I want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church. So good to see everybody. And as we travel through this these wintry months and cold outside, and just praise the Lord, though, for a good day so far this morning, Sunday morning. And just thankful for the health and mindset to be able to come to church and think clearly and speak about the Lord. What a blessing that is. And all of you that are here, I know you feel the same way. You're able to rise up, take nourishment, put one foot in front of the other. God is good this morning, and we praise him for that. Just want to mention a few things as we do each and every Sunday morning. And, we've got some people that are in need of prayer. Let's continue to remember Miss Carrie Bennett in our prayers, as she was in the hospital a while ago, but she is still trying to get better with a heart condition, so we're praying for her. Continue to remember Brother David Henderson. Last Sunday, he was with a walker. This Sunday, he's with a cane. And so maybe next Sunday, may not be with anything. But I'm not rushing that, Miss Glenda. I'm not rushing that. And, keep that cane handy somewhere, I guess. But anyway, praise the Lord. Just a miraculous surgery Brother David had. And, from the prep to the post of the surgery, it's just been a good a good experience, as one could be having surgery, but we just praise the Lord for that. Let's also remember Brother Randy Maddox. He's at home in quarantine. Harold Dolph, home in quarantine. And Alan Clayton, home in quarantine. And so let's remember those men just staying out another Sunday just to be on the safe side. Let's also remember Miss Dawn. Miss Dawn Daly. Brother Jim contacted me yesterday, and Jim Jr. did, and said that Miss Dawn has bronchitis, not COVID, just bronchitis. So let's remember Miss Dawn in our prayers. Let's also remember Brother Leonard Palmer. He has a doctor's visit on the 13th, and he's going to get that eye rechecked. He had surgery on a while back, and so Brother Leonard, if you're watching, Miss Dolores, we're praying for you guys on that. Also this morning, there's quite a few that are on top of who's already out that are just out of town doing different things. And so let's remember them in our prayers. I did want to make an announcement, as I did on Facebook on our church page earlier this week, that, of course, if you're sick, you have any kind of symptoms, a fever, just please stay home for your benefit and safety, and for the benefit and safety of others. We all know that this COVID thing and these different variants are on the uptick, on the uprise, and so we want to be responsible and get the word out to our people to just take precaution, do what you need to do. Of course, there's plenty of masks. If you need a mask coming in the church, also hand sanitizer, all of those things we know to do during these times, we've learned to do during these times, and so just remember that. When you come to church or thinking about coming. And also, I was told to make an announcement. To my right over here, we have church calendars that Miss Lee Ellen has made, and so there's plenty more over here free for your taking. So come by and pick up a calendar. There's also plenty of tithing envelopes. I'll say that again, plenty of tithing envelopes to my right and your left. And I just encourage you, if you're not a tither, I encourage you to start tithing, especially if you want God's blessings on you financially. And plus, tithing is just another form of worship anyway. And so we're supposed to do that. We delight in doing that. And just giving to the Lord the first fruits of all of our increase. What an opportunity and what a blessing. So there's plenty of tithing envelopes, offering envelopes over here. I did want to mention lastly that after the singing this morning, there will be children's church down in that designated area, so remember that. All right. Thank you, Brother Larry. for those that don't know, there was an individual lady who used to come to Brother Allen, Brother CJ Sunday School class for a long time, and named Tina. Tina Allen. She passed away this week, and so just remember the family of hers. All right. Let's pray this morning. I tell you what, let's have our ushers come on down, and then we'll pray and receive our Sunday morning offering. And again, just remember, everyone on the prayer list, I encourage you to pick up a bulletin in the foyer, and again, over to your left, down front this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for the things that you do. But Lord, we just thank you. We love you for who you are. You are a God who will save anyone. Lord, you're the God of second chances, the God of all hope, the God of all comfort. You're the God of all peace. Lord, you are all powerful. You know everything. You're everywhere at the same time. And so, God, for that reason, those reasons alone, we ought to be at peace with ourselves. We ought to be at rest, to know that everything's in your control. And you know everything, Lord, that's going to happen. So help us just trust you this morning. We pray for all of these requests, Lord, those who have lost loved ones, those that are sick, those, Lord, that are out of town. God, we just pray for everyone with every situation that you would minister to them in the way that you seem fit. Bless this offering. Let it be used, Lord, for the ongoing ministry here at the church and also for missions on foreign fields, home missions as well. We're thankful today that we can, oh Lord, partake in this offering and help us all just look at our increases financially and to know that we're to give to you because you blessed us with what we have financially. And to know, Lord, that you'll always provide. Help us just worship you during this time of tithes and offerings. Be with the music. Be with the message. Let us be changed and different by the time we leave. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Well, praise the Lord this morning that Jesus cares. And we appreciate that song, Miss Lauren. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brother David, for the song that you sang and per our request. And what a blessing it is to belong to the Lord this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. I want to read one verse. That is verse number 28. 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 28. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we want to read verse 28. Lord, one more time, we ask for a touch. Lord, I pray for a clear head and a calm heart. All I want to do, Lord, is be a blessing to your people today. Lord, I pray that let only the words that are from you be said. No other words be said. No words of mine. No other words but your words be said. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would encourage your people today. We're living in a dark and trying time, and we need to be uplifted this morning. We love you, we thank you, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 28. Paul says, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. That's going to be our one verse this morning, our launching pad verse. Before we get into this verse and try to lay the foundation for the message, let me just say that the book of 1 Corinthians deals with correction to the Corinthians. Paul dealing with some issues in the church there. And so he corrects those issues. This book, the book of 2 Corinthians, it deals with Paul's vindication. Many thought because he was, you know, weak looking in body, he was frail, most believe, in body. He spoke of his infirmities often. Many couldn't attached to that he was an apostle called of God. And so many times Paul had to vindicate himself. He had to boast a little. Not that he wanted to, but he felt as though he had to. And so here in 2 Corinthians we have Paul and his vindication. In verse number 28, I want to call your attention to one word, and that is the word care. He said, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now he says, beside those things that are without, he just mentions all of these obstacles and pearls and trials that he encountered. Verse number 24 down through 27. He talks about being stoned. He talks about being in perils by his own countrymen. Talks about being in the wilderness, and in the sea. Verse 27, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So Paul says there are those things I'm experiencing without, all of those external things, but then there's some internal things that I experience when I care for all the churches. The word care means care. But the word care also means here anxiety. And I think that we all understand what Paul is saying. He's not saying that the churches he's taking care of is a burden to him. He's just merely saying that with that responsibility sometimes comes anxiety. When it comes to caring for churches this morning, when it comes to caring for your own life, when it comes to keeping a watch upon your own walk with the Lord, all of the responsibilities in life, there are things that we care about. We care about those things, but also they can be things that carry anxiety. Because when you truly care, you are concerned. Sometimes there's anxiety that's associated with things you care about. This morning, I like to take that phrase, the care of all the churches, and preach a message entitled, When You Care. When You Care. I want to mention three parts of Paul's life, at least mentioned here in 2 Corinthians. Three parts that were involved in Paul's life because he cared. There was three different things that were involved in his life because he cared. And I want to mention those three things, those three parts, and I hope it'll be a blessing and a help to all of us this morning as we continue to care ourselves for the things that we're responsible for. When you care, many times there's a physical part attached to it. We see the physical part that wore on Paul because he cared. Now, in verse number 17, I want you to notice we see Paul's breaking point. Verse number 17, this is Paul again. He's vindicating himself. He is trying to justify his apostleship, or at least make others see that he indeed is an apostle, those who doubted. Verse 17 says, that which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. Now, look in verse number, we'll continue to verse number 19. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer. If a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. With verse number 21, he speaks again of this foolishness that he said. He speaks, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whenever, howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, notice this, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. So we see in these verses this morning, I like to think of it as Paul's boiling point or his breaking point. Again, we see that Paul is justifying his apostleship. He is vindicating his apostleship. But he says several times that he's speaking foolishly. Because we know ultimately that a wise man doesn't have to boast. A humble man, a humble person who is confident with their walk in the Lord, doesn't glory in himself. And let me just say that the things that Paul is mentioning, verse number 23 through 27, he is basically glorying in his infirmities. He's glorying in those things that are taking place in his life. He's not glorying as an apostle. He's not bragging as an apostle, but yet during this particular part of 2 Corinthians, he feels it necessary. Again, many thought that he was an apostle, because of his bodily image, because he looked weak and frail. And he wrote letters that were weighty, but yet in person he was quiet most of the time. He was a humble man. And so he says in verse number 17, "That which I speak it not after the Lord." Or the Lord is not telling me to say this, but I'm saying this so that I can vindicate who I am. "But as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting." Verse 21, "I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit where..." My goodness, I'm struggling with that this morning. "Howbeit where insoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also." You say, "Brother Justin, what does all this have to do with caring?" Well, Paul just laid out that he was in all of these perils and adversities in life. And then he said, on top of all of that, the care of all the churches. He cared about the churches. He cared about his own walk. He cared about his apostleship. And so here in these verses that I read to you, we have Paul at a boiling point, or at a breaking point, if I could say it that way. He is encountering this aspect of ministry where he's having to express that he's really an apostle. He's having to prove that he's really an apostle. And so therefore he is at a breaking point. Again, verse 17, he says, "I'm not speaking after the Lord here." He's saying, "but as it were foolishly." He says, "I'm speaking foolishly. I'm speaking out of the way that I normally speak. I'm a mild and humble man, but you have put me in this situation where I'm going to have to not speak after the Lord, but speak after myself and brag a little and boast a little and really prove who I am." We have Paul here, and he is experiencing a breaking point. And I want to say that sometimes in life we arrive at that place. We do our very best to keep an eye on our own Christian walk. We do our very best to keep an eye on our responsibilities, and we try our best to obey the Lord and do what's right. But everyone has a breaking point. Everyone has that place in their life where they say, "I'm not speaking after the Lord here. I'm speaking foolishly." Sometimes in life we arrive at these places where we may be stressed and we may say things we don't mean. We may lash out at people. We may say hurtful words that we wouldn't normally say. And the truth is when we genuinely care about ourselves and about our life and about what God cares about, the word care means care, but it also means anxiety. Sometimes it's the care of things and the anxiety of things that drive us to this breaking point where we boil over. Has anybody in here ever spoken out of character? Not that you were being mad at someone or being mean towards someone deliberately, but you had a boiling over moment. You had a breaking point. I know I have. I've spoken out of character many of times. Not that I was trying to be mean or unkind, but it was just that the care that was on my plate and the great concern I had for several things and the anxiety that goes along with it. Sometimes I have lashed out. Sometimes I've said things that weren't after the Lord. And so there's a physical part here. And Paul, he encountered some things physically. He encountered a breaking point. But then number two, when it comes to the physical part, some of the things that Paul encountered, he encountered bodily fatigue as well. Now, turn to the left to chapter number 7. Chapter number 7, if you would. Notice in verse number 5. "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears." And so Paul says, that I care so much that even there was this time when I had no rest within my body bodily I was fatigued, he says, within body. He says, without were fightings, within were fears. And so no doubt Paul had his experience on the outside with men and with people and with all of those adversities he named in the verses that we just read back in chapter number 11. Fightings that were without, and then fears that were within. Paul said he had some fears along the way. I don't know. I know that Paul and all of us, all the people in the Bible, and all of us, we are the same breed. We're all under sin. We all experience the same things. Maybe not on the same level, but Paul wasn't perfect. There were times where he feared. The Bible even says within were fears. And so he had bodily fatigue here. And whenever you care genuinely about yourself, your walk with the Lord, your family, responsibilities in life, sometimes there is those times where in body you're just fatigued. I mean, think about it. On the outside there's fightings. On the inside there's fears. And your body takes a great deal of a hit from all of that. Our bodies absorb the adversities in life. And sometimes things just get heavy. And so we see that there was bodily fatigue in the life of Paul. But then there was a burden that was heavy in the life of Paul. Turn, if you would, to chapter number 1. Just keep in mind we're talking about when you care. In the first part of Paul's life had to do with a physical part. He had a breaking point, bodily fatigue, but then a burden that was heavy. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, notice verse number 8. He says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Now, most believe this Asia part he's talking about. He says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia." Most believe he's talking about Ephesus. And there's a particular part in 1 Corinthians 15:32 where Paul mentions that if after the manner of men we have fought with beasts at Ephesus, all kinds of things Paul dealt with at Ephesus among many other places. But Paul says here, he says, "I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know. I want you to realize that we were in trouble in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Pressed out of measure. They had no more left. He had no more left to give. He was pressed out of measure. Above strength. So the strength that he had, his adversity needed more strength. But he didn't have that strength. He said, "We were pressed out of measure, above strength." And then he says, "In so much that we despaired even of life." So Paul says, "You know what? I just despair of this current situation. This current situation is so troubling and bothersome. All of the adversities and the trouble in Ephesus and Asia. I've given my very best, and the trial is calling for more strength, and I don't have that strength to give." And so Paul was despairing of life. Have you ever been there in your life where the day required more strength than you have? Have you ever been there in your life where you would wake up in the morning and the responsibilities you have required more strength than you have to give? And maybe everything isn't going right in your life. There's many moving parts in your life and many things that need attention and many things that you need to deal with. And you get to a place of desperation. You get to a place of depression. You get to a place where you really don't even want to get out of bed and deal with these things. I believe that's what Paul felt here. Paul was feeling this burden that was heavy. I love what Psalm 55 and verse number 6 says. David says, "And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Have you ever just wanted to fly away? You ever just wanted to fly away and you thought that you would be at rest if you could just... You ever said one time in a moment of hostility and anxiety, "Well, you know, I've done the very best that I can do, and I've tried all I can try, and nothing's getting better. I'm just going to run away." You ever thought that before? "Well, I've done the very best on the job. I've done my very best at home. It seems like nobody's ever happy. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to run away." Sometimes when you care, sometimes those cares have anxiety attached to them. And you may love what you do, and you may love your family. You may love your job, and you may love the Lord. But there's times where you feel like you just want to throw in the towel. There's times where you feel like you just want to fly away. But you know, that sounds good, wanting to run away. That sounds good, wanting to fly away. But when David spoke of that in Psalm 55 and verse 6, he goes on to say and to talk about the wilderness. He says, "I would go into the wilderness and be at peace," in so many words. And when you get to thinking about the wilderness that David was wanting to escape to, and when we really think about us wanting to run away and be at rest, it's really not the best thing to do. It sounds good, but it's not really good for us. We can't just run away. We have to deal with life. David, when he referred to the wilderness, talked about this would be his resting place. But we know in the Bible, the wilderness is not necessarily a good place. We know that Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. We know the children of Israel spent many years in the wilderness. In the wilderness, there's isolation. In the wilderness, there's temptation. And so David concludes that chapter, and he talks about how I don't have to fly away. I don't have to run away because Jesus is my refuge and Jesus is my help. And this morning we have Paul, and he's talking about how he feels on the inside, those fears that's on the inside. And he's talking about the fightings on the outside there in Asia and Ephesus, the great beast he battled. And some believe he's talking about men who act as beasts. And so there's a physical part in Paul's life that he encountered when he cared. There was a burden that was heavy. There was bodily fatigue. There was a breaking point he encountered. We too will feel these things from time to time when we genuinely care. There's a second part that Paul experienced when he cared. Not only the physical part, but there was an educational part as well. Paul learned some things because he cared. Now we're in chapter 1. Notice verse number 9. He says, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doeth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Paul received an educational part because he cared. He cared for the churches. He cared for his apostleship, his own walk with God. He cared for everybody and others. But he got an education during the process. Paul learned how to rely on the Lord because he cared. Verse number 9. Now, verse number 8, I just read it to you a moment ago, that they were in Asia, pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Then verse number 9, the first word, "but." That holds a lot of weight here. Because he just mentioned his desperation. And then he says, "but I learned something. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Another word for sentence there is answer. Paul's answer to his dilemma wasn't good. We're going to die. Not going to make it. Because of our circumstances, things look bleak. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. That. And this verse is telling us that Paul arrived at an answer in his dilemma in his life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We gave up on ourselves. The answer, things look bleak. Things look hopeless. And we felt this way that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Paul learned something in his darkest hours. And here's what he learned, and here's what God is teaching us. Paul learned that he could not trust in himself. He speaks many times about bringing his body in subjection, not letting his flesh rule and reign. But here he's speaking of when life is bleak and there's adversity and things don't look good. It looks like everything's going to crash and burn. Don't trust in your own conclusions. What does the writer say in Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 5 and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And so sometimes in life when we care, we have anxiety because we care and we're trying to be responsible and we're in the middle of a lot of moving parts and we just don't know how everything's going to get done, how all the needs are going to be met. And sometimes it seems very despairing. But God oftentimes allows us to get in these positions because He wants to butt in and show us something. God many times allows there to be struggle in your life financially, for there to be struggle in your life physically, because He's trying to take us to the end of ourselves for us to realize His help and His aid will be there for us. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Paul got an experience here. Paul learned some things. You remember the thorn that he had? Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he begged God at least 3 times, Lord, remove this thorn, remove this thorn, remove this thorn. I could serve you better if this thorn was removed. I could serve you better if there was no adversity in my life. Lord, I could serve you better if everything was hunky-dory. I could serve you better. And we know what the Bible says, that God answered him. It said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul's response to all that was, I therefore most gladly glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In so many words, Paul discovered with the thorn experience that it was when he was at his weakest that God was most seen. Not when Paul was at his strongest was God seen, but it was when Paul was at his weakest and when Paul was most needy of God and when Paul didn't have anything and Paul was in the deep for all of those nights and when Paul was betrayed by his own countrymen and when Paul was in fastings often and when Paul was stoned and left for dead outside of the gates of Lystra. It was then that Paul knew that God was on his side. It was then that Paul began to get familiar with the grace of God. You know what happened when after he got stoned? He got up. He got up and walked right back in the gates. You see, Paul became acquainted with God more intimately during those times of struggle than he did without the thorn, without the adversity. So we see here in 2 Corinthians 1, in verse number 8 down through verse number 10, that Paul received an educational part. He learned to rely on the Lord. And you and I this morning, as we care about things And as we deal with anxiety and all of those things, God allows us to learn how to rely on Him. In verse number 10, He says, who delivered us from so great a death. That's speaking of past victories. And doeth deliver, in whom we trust that will yet deliver us. So Paul is saying, although it's bleak and although it's grim, the Lord will deliver us in His own time. He will either give us strength and grace to climb the mountain, or He will remove the mountain. God is in the business of giving us an education this morning, whether we like it or not. And whenever we are in these situations, our attitude definitely determines how long, or at least how we bear that trial. I've grown to discover, while going through difficult things, that the key in all of the trials and adversities that we're in, I'm learning that it all hinges on one word: patience. Patience. If you're going through times of difficulty, you've got to be patient. When I'm going through times of difficulty, I have to be patient. And I'm patient because I know that God's at work. And I know that God is trying to grow me in patience. And so patience is the way through your trial, and patience is what's produced by your trial. So whatever you're in this morning, the best thing to do is just surrender and be patient. Because when we get stressed out and this anxiety, this care overwhelms us, when things aren't working out, we don't have it figured out, we can bowl over. We can get stressed and say things we don't mean. We can get fatigued within our bodies. But the Lord is wanting us to rely on Him. And whenever our trial comes to a close, we're a little bit wiser. We're a little more patient. And so that's the goal, at least. So there's the educational part here. Paul learned to rely on the Lord. But there's a third part when it came to Paul and his caring, the physical part, the educational part. But then there was a spiritual part. Still here in chapter number 1. Notice, if you would, verse number 4. Paul experienced some spiritual things. He was comforted by God. In verse number 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And so there was a spiritual part here. Paul experienced being comforted by God. And the same opportunity is given to us whenever we care, whenever we go to attend to our responsibilities and things are stressful, God wants to comfort us. Now, this comfort that Paul received, this comfort that we received, we can both sympathize and sometimes empathize with people. What I mean by that is, he says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Because I've been comforted of God in my life in times, I can go up to a cancer patient and sympathize. I can say, you know what, so-and-so, I've been through a lot in my life, and I can tell you that God will comfort you. He has brought me through a lot, brought me out of a lot. He has given me grace. He showed mercy, and He'll do the same thing for you. He will give you grace. He'll give you mercy. He will comfort you. I'm able to sympathize with people because I've been comforted in my life. But I cannot empathize with a cancer patient because I've never had cancer. I could tell that cancer patient, you know, I sympathize with you. God will help you. He will He will give you grace. He will give you mercy. He will give you, you know, peace during your time of cancer. But I can't empathize. I can't say I know how you feel, because I've never had cancer, and I hope I never will. I can't empathize with someone who has lost a child. I can't empathize with someone who lost their job and couldn't pay for their mortgage and had to move out and find a place. I can't empathize with that. I can sympathize that, hey, God will be there for you and He will comfort you. But I can't empathize. And you see, in our life, God, He gives us these experiences of struggle and trouble, and He comforts us. He brings us to these places of learning where we know that He'll provide, He'll step in, and we can sympathize with people. Hey, God will comfort you. And we do that because we've been comforted. We minister from a heart that's received comfort. But then there was those other times where somebody comes along that's had cancer, whom God has touched. Not to say has healed them of cancer, but has prolonged their life, has allowed things that maybe healed their cancer as well. But from one cancer patient to another cancer patient can say, hey, God will comfort you. But not only that, I've been where you're at. And I can tell you that God knows what He's doing, and God will help you. And so out of the comfort that we receive from God comes sympathy and empathy in our life for others. Paul here is saying that there was a spiritual part that took place in his life. He gained experience by being comforted of God. He said, I've had all of these things happen to me. And beside those things, the care of all the churches and the anxiety that I have to carry because I love all the churches so much and all these responsibilities. I've had struggles. I've had heartaches. But one thing I can tell you is that God will comfort you during those times. And we see that Paul says, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, this spiritual part that Paul experienced had to do with being comforted by God, but also comforted by man. Look in chapter number 7, verse number 6. He says in chapter 7 and verse number 6, nevertheless God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. Paul experienced that he experienced comfort by man. The very sight of Titus, the very coming by Titus. And most believe that Titus was one that Paul led to the Lord. And so he loved Titus. He invested in Titus. Titus was a godly young person and was a pastor and all of those things. And so the very coming of Titus encouraged Paul. You've got that person in your life that you've mentored, that you've helped. And life can be just all out of sorts, but if they were to call you on the phone or come see you, that just gladdens the heart, makes the heart happy. And not only that, but he says in verse 7, and not only by his coming alone, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. Not only he was comforted by Titus, but he was comforted by Corinth. The church there said, expressed that they were at a place of mourning, and had a fervent mind toward Paul. Again, Paul had to vindicate himself. And so there was this mourning here, I believe twofold. It was a mourning toward their sin, the book of 1 Corinthians. But then he says, your fervent mind toward me. And now it's a vindication received. Now their minds and hearts are toward Paul. And on the same token, it can mean you're mourning over me because of my adversity. And that they had a mind toward Paul and wanted him to be better and make it. At any rate, this morning, he was comforted by man. He was comforted by Titus. He was comforted by Paul. And you and I this morning, you can testify of it as well as I can. God comforts, but man has a way of comforting as well. God comforts through man. There's been people in my life who would call me when they had no idea of the anxiety and care that I had on my heart and would call and just offer a word of encouragement. Brother Justin, just want you to know I'm praying for you. Now, I want you to know, Brother Justin, last Sunday when you preached that message, it was a help to me. Brother Justin, thank you so much for coming by today and praying with me. I want you to know that I've been praying for you too. We can help each other. We can pray for one another. We can pick up a phone. We can text. We can send a card to one another. You just never know what each of us is going through. So this morning, there was a spiritual part when Paul cared. He experienced some spiritual things. He was comforted by God. He was comforted by man. There was the educational part. Paul learned some things when he cared. He learned how to rely on the Lord. Then there was the physical part that Paul encountered because he cared. He encountered a breaking point, if you will. Bodily fatigue and a burden that was heavy. Sometimes when we care, things can get crazy. Burdens can get heavy. Concern and anxiety can be real. But just as Paul mentioned from the scriptures, that God comforts us and then we're to comfort others. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for all things. Lord, we've done our best this morning to try to be a help. And Lord, I know that every service, we're not running the aisles and hanging from the chandeliers. I know every service can't be some charismatic feeling, and we're not dependent on that, Lord. But even in the stillness, Lord, I pray that you minister and have ministered today to the hearts of your people. And we pray, Lord, by the time we come back tonight, we'll be ready for to hear from you again and to sing praises unto you. I pray this morning if somebody needs to come pray that they will come and do business with you. We trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. And if you need to come pray, you can pray.